Hallelujah. Oh, praise the Lord. Woo, can you feel His presence tonight? Oh, hallelujah. You know, that's a beautiful thing. Doesn't matter how many we are, when we come together with a purpose, when we come together in the house of the Lord, He always shows up. He always shows up. He never disappoints. Oh, hallelujah. I love the Lord for that. Praise the Lord. Oh, I just love the Lord. You know, I don't know why I'm sharing this except for the Lord just keeps putting it in my mind. How many of you are reading the daily verse reading that we're doing as a group, as the women's group in the church? I read this morning the devotional, and it was about Mary Magdalene. And it talked about how at one point she just kind of slipped back. You know, she got panicked. She got afraid. And, she thought, I can't take this walk. I can't handle it. I'm going to mess it up. And, so she went back where she came from. She was with Jesus. And the disciples went after her and brought her back. And in this video is from the movie The Chosen that you can watch at the end of the reading. If you don't watch those little videos, those little clips, you really, really should. And so I'm watching that clip. Now, I had got up this morning at, a little bit before 5 and left the house by 5:30 or by 6 and took my husband to the airport, left him at the airport, started driving home and got this panicked phone call. My flight's canceled. It's canceled. What do I do? My flight's canceled. Do I stay here at the airport? What do? I'm driving down the freeway, you know, at 65. And I'm like, I'm trying to hear this phone call, but I don't have a hands free. And I'm trying not to play with the phone. I'm 65. And I'm like, just stay where you are. I'll turn around as soon as I can. I'll come back. So we went back to the airport. We picked him up and we headed back home again. And they booked him for a flight an hour earlier tomorrow. And I'm sitting there at the table and I'm contemplating many things. And I'm like, okay, I'm gonna just do my devotionals, you know. I'm just gonna do my devotionals. That's what I'm gonna do. I'm gonna do my devotionals. And I sit down and I have multiple devotionals going because if you're OCD like me, that's what you do. One's not enough, 6 is too many, but you go with 7. So I'm just reading through these devotionals and I get to this one, which is just one of my favorites. I'm really enjoying it. And I'm watching this scene, you know, with Mary and she comes before Jesus, right? The disciples have just brought her back to their camp and she's like standing there before him and she's just like, I messed up. She said, I just don't think I can do this. And Jesus in this part, you know, he just looks at her and he goes, all I require is your heart and your love. You already gave that to me, Mary. I don't think because one little mess up, I'm going to give it back. And I just start bawling. Because I'm sitting there drinking a cup of coffee, which I'm fasting, and eating a piece of chocolate cake, which I'm also fasting. I'm sorry, it was just too much. It's just too much. I'm sorry, God, it's just too much. I feel like her. I'm just a waste of air, Lord. I can't even fast. What, I made it 2 days? Woohoo, 2 whole days, Lord. I'm sorry. I'm going to mess this up. And I know now I'm going to do it over and over and over again, Lord. I know it. And, you know, it's okay. And he looks at Mary and he says, I forgive you. You're mine. And I just start bawling all over again. I just start bawling all over again. You know, we're going to mess up. We just are. We just do. And I felt the Lord telling to me, pick it up again tomorrow. It's okay. It's okay if you missed a step today. It's okay if it didn't work out today the way you thought. You know, Jesus is filled with so much compassion. His compassion gets me every time. His compassion.
His compassion, which is love motivated. It's not motivated for something he can get. It's not motivated for a Nobel Prize. It's not motivated to get his name in lights. It's not motivated to get a slot on TV. It's not motivated for people to give money to him. It's motivated solely and purely out of love for you and me. And I sat there feeling like, now I gotta go preach tonight, knowing I missed it again. And I could just see, you know, you're gonna make me share about that too, aren't you? Because you always make me share my dirties. You always make me share that. But Lord, it really just doesn't fit though. There's just really no way to bring that in to the message tonight. Surprise. Absolute, complete surprise, because look at what he did. He absolutely did it. It's what he does. He is so filled with compassion for you and me. Turn with me in your Bibles to Matthew chapter 9, verse 36. And while you're turning there, I'm going to go ahead and pray, okay? Precious Jesus, Lord, I just want to thank you for your love and compassion that you showed me today, even when I fell. Even when I didn't do what I said I wanted to do, when I didn't do what I felt I needed to do, even when I missed it, your compassion overwhelmed me and filled me with your love. Lord, I just thank you for your love and your compassion, Father. Lord, I thank you for those who are here tonight. I thank you for those who are watching tonight. And I just ask you, Lord, that as I minister what you have sowed into my heart tonight, Lord, that you sow it into their hearts at a deeper level. Lord, that you let them feel your compassion. Let them feel your love surrounding them, encouraging them, and lifting them to keep marching forward, to keep doing, Lord, what you've called us to do, even in the face of failure. Even in the face of falling, even in the face of ridicule, Lord, help us to keep going forward, Lord Jesus. Help us, oh God, to keep advancing your kingdom, precious Savior. And we just give you glory tonight, Lord. Amen. Matthew chapter 9, verse 36 says, "But when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion for them, because they were weary and scattered, like a sheep having no shepherd." Do you know what it means for a sheep to not have a shepherd? Sheep are very social animals, but they're also very timid, and they have no protection on their own. The ram will run away and leave the females as faster than he would stand and fight for them. It's every sheep for themselves when the predators come. So a sheep without a shepherd, they're a little lost. A sheep without a shepherd has no one to lead them to food and to water. So they'll find some, but usually not the best. And sheep will eat even the things that aren't good for them. A sheep without a shepherd has no one to protect them. No one to cover them. No one to care for them when they've been wounded, because that's what a shepherd does. And we raise sheep, and they're a lot of work. They're a lot of work. You can't just let that wool grow and grow and grow. You got to take care of it. You got to take care of them. You got to make sure they have food, or they're going to find a way to get out of their pen, and then they're going to go everywhere. They are a lot of work. I can relate to that. I too am a lot of work. Hey, shh. I too am a lot of work. You can ask apparently my pastor, because he also knows this. And apparently you can ask my husband. I'm sure he knows this. So sheep without a shepherd, they're just lost. They've got no covering, no protection, no help, no food. They're just lost and alone. And Christ has compassion for the lost and for the alone. His heart filled with compassion. When I was eating my coffee, which is decaffeinated and yet still it calls to me, and chocolate cake, as I was sitting there crying, still putting it into my mouth, I didn't feel ridicule from him. I didn't feel attacked. I felt compassion. I felt his compassion. As I'm sitting there bawling, really, Lord, really, you're going to
show me compassion right now. I'd yell at me. I am yelling at me.
Hallelujah. I want to talk to you about first responders. How many knows what a first responder is? A first responder is someone that is credentialed in a way or educated in a way that when there is an accident, a natural disaster, something big goes on, first responders are called in to be the first people on the site, on the scene. And they do a very quick triage. They look through, they see what needs fixed, how do we make this area safe? How do we keep these people safe? And who needs the most attention the first and what they need? And they begin working before the others show up. Sometimes before the police show up or the fire department shows up. Sometimes the fire department or the police are your first responders. And they're there before anybody else gets there. They're the first person that's gonna come and help you when something happens. They're the ones whose voice you are waiting to hear when you are in a disaster, when you are in an accident. I remember when I was almost 18 or right around 18, I was in a car accident with my sister. I drove an MG Midget convertible soft top. Small. You know, I probably not any longer than this. And I rolled it 4 times. We were headed to school, my sister and I, and we were just going, and it was kind of icy out. There was a little bit of snow on the ground in places, but there was ice. And this car, I wasn't going very fast, maybe 35 miles an hour, 40 at the most. And this car pulls out in front of me that just started. It's not been warmed up. It's still petting. You know, shooting out smoke out the back. And I'm like, oh boy, I can't slam on my brakes because there's ice on the road. And so I try to go around them. I hit a bigger patch of black ice and it shoots me off the side of the road into the ditch where I went end over end twice, hit a tree, and then went sideways 2 more rolls. We were knocked unconscious for a time. I don't know how long, my sister and I. And when we were in that car and when we came to, we were kind of stuck. And I remember thinking, what do we do? What do we do? We're stuck. What do we do? What do we do? What do I do? I got to get out of the car. I got to get out. I got to get out. And we were bleeding. And I don't have a whole lot of memories. I remember that. And I remember trying to figure out what to do. We were dazed. We were confused. We were battered. And I remember hearing the sirens in the distance. I thought there was never such a beautiful sound. Oh my gosh, the sound of those sirens meant help was coming. Help was on the way. We needed help. We needed it like now. And I couldn't get my sister out of the car. And it may have been she couldn't get me out of the car. I can't remember which way it went. But I remember thinking, God, we need help. Lord, we need help. And I remember those sirens. And I remember thinking, oh, help is on the way. Help is coming. We just have to hold on a little bit. First responders bring hope. It is when you are in a position, when you are in a situation, and you know you need help. You are so happy to see those faces. I don't know how they got whichever of us that was stuck out, but they did. They got us on a backboard. They strapped me down so tight I was ready to spit at them. It hurt so bad. It hurt worse. Oh, I just want to go back in the car. Put me back. Put me back in the car. But I was so excited that there was help. I knew that we were about to get helped. And you know, first responders often carry emergency equipment with them, depending on where they go. You know, like if they're going to a flood zone or to a tornado devastated area, they carry a blanket. Sometimes they carry granola bars or something that they can hand the people to snack because who knows how long they've been stranded. They carry water. They give out bottles of water to the people that can have it. Not everybody in an accident scene or in a trauma situation can have those things. But they make those judgments. They make those calls. It's what they do. It's what they're trained for. And they're ready for anything they get called into. And a few years ago, like 10, I went through training. I did all these paperwork to become a chaplain that could go to these, to be a first responder. You can get on the scene with this chaplain card when they won't let anybody else in. And you can go to these things, and you can go and you can be right there and pray with the people and minister to the people. And I thought that was so important. That's such an awesome thing to do, to get ready for these kinds of things. And in Romans 8:19, the word says, For the earnest expectation of the creation eagerly awaits for the revealing of the sons of God. I was trapped in that car, and I was eagerly awaiting the first responders. I knew somebody had to come. I knew we couldn't stay like that. One of us was trapped. The other was loopy in the head, and we couldn't figure out what to do. I knew help had to come. There had to be help from some way. We were eagerly awaiting, expecting help. All of creation is waiting in eager expectation of God to be revealed in you and me. If that doesn't excite you, nothing else I have to say tonight will. That tells me the time is now. That tells me harvest is ready. That tells me that I have something someone else needs. Now, this is the girl that just ate a piece of chocolate cake and coffee after 2 days of fasting. But there's still this verse that says all of creation is in expectation, waiting for God to be revealed in us. That is so exciting. And I understand what that expectation feels like for the one who is in need, the one who is broken, the one who is lost, the one who is hurting. I know what that expectation feels like because I was broken and I was hurting and I was trapped and I was lost feeling when I heard those sirens, and it changed my outlook of what was possibly about to happen. Oh, praise the Lord. Here's the clincher. Here's the most important thing I'm going to say to you tonight. You and me are spiritual first responders. We are trained in the Word. We are filled with the Holy Spirit. That's our credentials right there. We are spiritual first responders, and all of creation is waiting for God to be revealed in you and me, because they need something we have. Hallelujah. They're waiting. They're waiting. And you have just what they need. Now I'm sitting there eating that chocolate cake and coffee. I should have stopped. I could have got up and threw that chocolate cake to the chickens. They'd have loved it. And I'd have felt a lot less guilty. Wouldn't have made as good a message, but I'd have felt a lot less guilty. But I sat there eating that cake, thinking, how am I going to go preach tonight? Lord, I'm a mess. I just messed this up. One little situation, and I'm having coffee and cake because I think I needed it really bad. Really? Nobody needs cake that bad, Lord. Coffee, maybe, but not the cake. Lord, I just really messed it up. And the Lord said, get out your message. Oh, no, you're not putting this in that message. No, we don't have to go that far. And I start going through my devotionals instead, which then led me right to the message, because it was all about compassion. First responders have to be filled with compassion, and a compassion that's motivated by love, because someone out there in need is waiting in earnest expectation to receive what you have for them. Hallelujah. Oh, praise the Lord. You know, Jesus is filled with compassion, and he yearns to minister to those in need. Holy Spirit always has a word of encouragement to give out. Jesus is the living water. He's the water that people are waiting for. He is the bread of life. He is the bread people are waiting for. He is the food that people are hungry for. He is what those in need need. He is the very answer, praise the Lord. He is the very answer. Hallelujah. It says in Romans 8, verse 28 and 29 says, and we know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose. How many of you are called in here? We're all called. So that means every situation in our life, God will use for good. Hallelujah. If we allow him to. Hallelujah. Even if it's falling and eating cake and coffee. Praise the Lord. And it says, for whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his son. Jesus was the very first responder. The very first responder. He had compassion on creation. He saw the fall of man. He saw us hurting and lost like sheep without a shepherd. He saw us broken and wounded. And he was moved by compassion in the heavens. And he came to earth and was born a man, that he could answer that call, that he could fill that need, that he could save you and I. Oh, that moves my heart. That moves my heart. He was in heaven at the beginning. He was with God. He was there in the beginning. He saw the fall of man. He was there. He saw it. And he came up with a plan. Not a plan he was forced into. Not a plan he was manipulated into. He came up with a plan that was based in love and fueled by compassion, so that he could save us once and for all. So that he could be the first responder to humanity, to the need, to the call of our souls. You know, when we had that car accident, there were no cell phones back then. There was no calling anyone. We were far. We were at least a mile from the nearest house. The nearest house was the one where the car pulled out in front of us, and there they went. They didn't even stop. They saw and they just kept going. Somebody had to have seen. Maybe they went somewhere and called, because somehow the fire department got there. And we were laying there lost and broken, and I've got scars all over my face where I was cut up and glass was embedded and I had to have stitches and glass removed and wounded, thinking, what are we going to do? How do we fix this? One of us is stuck. The other of us is on the side of the road just wackadoodle. We both ended up with concussions. And to hear those sirens meant everything. You know, to hear the lost and the broken and the hurting, to hear what Jesus has to say to them is everything. Is everything. Oh, praise the Lord. And it says that conformed to the image of his son. That means that we are to be compassionate, moved by love and compassion, like Jesus was moved by love and compassion. You know, I know when we see something every day, we get desensitized to it. But we can't let it desensitize us. We can't let the homeless or the beggars or the people in need on the corner asking for help. We can't let ourselves become desensitized, because Holy Spirit does not become desensitized. Praise God. Because would it have been me that he decided, she's going to fall and eat chocolate cake and coffee when she promised to fast, so I'm going to let that one go. Imagine, we've all fallen. And what if when we did, Christ wasn't there to pick us up? What if when we did, he wasn't there with his compassion and love to say to us, all I need is your loving heart, man. I've already got that. We're good. I forgive you. What if we've never heard that? What if he wasn't there to say that to us? Oh, praise the Lord. We can't allow ourselves to become desensitized by what's going on in the world around us. We must allow it to cause us to intercede, to pray, to motivate us not to miss the moment when we need to be the spiritual first responder. It says,
That's all I want there. Okay. So you and I were predestined to reveal the glory of God. No matter what the circumstance or the situation we find ourselves in, God wants to use it to reveal himself to the world, to others. What we think is impossible, the Lord thinks is as opportunity. Romans 10, 14 and 15 says, then how shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him in whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the gospel of peace, who bring glad tidings. You know, we hear that word preacher and we think, well, that's for somebody else. I'm not a preacher. Nope, not me. Not a preacher. We're witnessing. Oh, that's for a pastor. That's for pastor. Or the missionary. Or the evangelist. That's not for me. But you know what preaching is? It's just a well-placed word. It's just being obedient to the moment. Sharing the gospel can be as simple as saying, Jesus loves you, sister. He is for you. It can be that simple. It can be so simple, we overcomplicate it, because that's kind of what we do sometimes, isn't it? We take a really simple thing and we make it huge and we make it complicated. Hallelujah. Oh, praise the Lord. You can be that word that someone needs to hear. A simple Jesus loves you. A simple your sins are forgiven. Oh, praise the Lord. In Romans 1:7 it says, for I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes. The gospel is power to salvation. The gospel is the power that leads to salvation. The gospel is the good news. Jesus loves you. Jesus is for you. He's got what you need. You don't have to fix yourself up. It's okay. Right now, all you need to do is call to him. That's it. That's simple. You don't have to put on your Sunday best. You don't have to have a bath. You don't have to get all fixed up. You don't have to quit your drinking. You don't have to quit your this or quit your that right now. All you have to do is hear the word and respond to the call. And Holy Spirit comes in. And then he begins to work in our hearts to motivate us, to desire, to make changes in our lives. Because we suddenly understand this God of compassion, this God of love who fills us, has something greater for us. And he deserves better than what we were at the beginning. I am so glad I went to Mexico. My whole world changed. My whole life changed. I changed. I am not the girl I was when I went to Mexico, praise the Lord. I am not that same woman. I have grown. I have matured. I have become something totally different because of the time walking with him. Could that have happened here? Probably. Because time in his presence leads us to desire to be better. Have you ever felt like that? I just want to be better. I want to be better for the Lord because he deserves that. Do you know how I became a missionary? I said to the Lord in a prayer one night, I don't have many, Lord. I'm not even that great at anything. But I love you so much. I am saying to you, use me however you want. Do, my life is yours. Do what you want with it. And when the Lord said, I want you to go to Mexico, I said, you're absolutely crazy and I'm in. And do you know why I said that? Because an act of that was the only way I could prove how much I loved him. Do I need to prove it? No. Does he know? Of course he does. He knows the depths of my heart. But I wanted an outward show that I knew how much he loved me and I loved him back. And to me, the answer was this. He said, go. I said, okay, you're crazy and I probably am too, but I'm in. Because I said, here, take this life and do whatever you want with it. It's yours. I've got nothing else to give you but myself. My dreams, my desires, my hopes, they are yours. Do whatever you want with them. And I got to go to Mexico for 19 years. And I loved it. And I became something better than what I was when I left. Hallelujah. Because that's what he does to us. He creates in us a hunger and a desire to be better. Hallelujah. Being a first responder is a step of faith. But if we can trust the Lord for salvation, if we can trust him for healing, if we can trust him for provision, we can trust him for a word. We can trust him for a word. You know, Jesus went all over with simple words. You are healed. Your faith has healed you. I forgive you. Take your mat, get up and walk. And he changed the world. With simple little phrases. You and I can use simple little phrases. Jesus loves you. Jesus is for you. Oh, before you were born, he knew you. He had a plan for you. No matter what the world says, no matter what your parents said, no matter what the people around you said, Jesus knew you and has a better plan for you. A purpose for you. How many of us have heard people say, there's got to be something more to life than this? How many of us have felt that? There's got to be something more to life than this, Lord. This isn't doing it for me. Right? We're not the only ones. The world is full of people trying to figure out what life's all about. Full of lost sheep, wounded, hurting, alone. Trying to figure out what life's about. And we're the spiritual first responders. We're the ones to sow in. We're the ones to give a little word of encouragement. Hallelujah. We're the ones to speak a word of love or hope or strength or encouragement to someone who needs a little first aid. It says in 2 Timothy 4:2, preach the word. Be ready in season and out of season. Preaching is just sharing about Jesus. I can do that all day long. Ask Marty. Ask my daughter. Ask anybody who's spent a little bit of time in my company. I can talk Jesus all day long. Hallelujah. You know, he died for our sins. He paid the price for your life. Through Jesus, you are forgiven. New life through Jesus. Healed, delivered, made new, and full of hope. These are words people need to hear. These are words that the lost and the broken and the wounded and the hurting and the dying need to hear. Out of a heart motivated by love, filled with compassion. In John 20, 21 through 23, Jesus said to them again, peace to you. As the Father has sent me, I also send you. And when he said this, he breathed on them. And he said to them, receive the Holy Spirit. I love this part.
If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven them. If you retain the sins of any, they are retained. That is a powerful verse. It's not a verse, we hear a whole lot. If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven them. I know a pastor, I shared this on Monday, so some of you have heard it, forgive me. I know a pastor that was a nurse, and she was working in a long-term care facility, and she had this gentleman that was just a big stinker. He was just a stinker. And she was praying and asking the Lord, Lord, how can I affect him? How can I sow in to this gentleman? He won't ever talk about Jesus. He won't, you know, what do I do? And she was taking care of him. She was studying, and she read this verse that morning in a devotional or in a study. And she started praying about it. The Lord started dealing with her about it. So in the next day or two, she was at work and he was being so difficult. And she just, all of a sudden, Holy Spirit rose up in such compassion in her. She looked at him. He was kind of fighting and combative. And she just laid her hand on his hand and she looked at his face and she said, you know, Arnold, I forgive you of your sins. Your sins are forgiven. And he melted, he broke down and began weeping and weeping and weeping. And he told her, I have carried this for so long. And you know, from that moment on, he changed. That says, if you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven them. Do you know, this is also one of the reasons why it's so important that we forgive people when they do things to us. Because if we withhold forgiveness, their sins are retained. Do you want to be responsible for that? For someone not receiving grace? When I need it every day? Oh, praise the Lord. We have to forgive. We have to forgive others. And we can freely forgive others. It's right there. In some Bibles, it's in red. There, it's just in white. This is Jesus talking. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. But you know, if we're so busy, caught up in ourselves, we might miss that moment of sowing that important little phrase. And if we don't put the focus out there more than here, when we go to people, they're not going to see love and compassion. They're going to see us and maybe not the best side of us. Right? I mean, have you ever answered someone very short? You know, you didn't mean it to be short, but that's just how it came out. Oh, well, live with it. But when we're representing Jesus and when we're first responders, the first thing we say is so important. Do you know what they said to us when they got to us? Hey, we're here to help. Can you hear us? You're not alone. We're here to help. We're here to help. Just be calm. We're here to help. Do you know those words were so powerful to me? And you know, I have literally forgotten this until the Lord brought it back to me today. It was so important to hear those words. We're here to help you. It's okay. You're not alone. We're here to help. How often does someone need to hear that? Hey, what can I do? How can I help? Jesus loves you and so do I. What can I do to bless your day? What can I do to make your day better? Hey, here's some burgers. Have a nice lunch on Jesus. There's so many ways we can handle that. So many ways that we can sow the gospel, that we can share the gospel without standing up here and preaching. I get it. Not everybody wants to do this. I get that. I love it. But hey, took me a long time to get there. But we can all share a word. We can all share a phrase. Hallelujah. It says in 2 Timothy 2:15 that we need to be diligent to present ourselves as approved to God, a worker that does not need to be ashamed. You know, I think sometimes we should be ashamed of our behavior, but I think we should never put ourselves in a place where we have to be. Do you understand what I mean? Sometimes our behavior is appalling and we should be ashamed of ourselves. But we're not supposed to ever be in that position where our behavior is appalling. Because we are supposed to be motivated by love and compassion. But sometimes that's not what motivates us, is it? Sometimes what motivates us is other things. Hunger, that's where I went today. Or stress. Or anger. Or frustration. Or because we're tired. The list is endless. The excuses we have are endless. But at the end of the day, the bottom line is, were we all we should be? Are we doing all that we can be doing? Because we need to be. Because we were called. We were chosen to do these things. And it's not just for the preacher or the pastor or the teacher. It's for all of us as individuals. The call to be a first responder, a first spiritual responder, the call to be compassionate, to be loving, to share the gospel. It's all over the New Testament. It's not like this little tiny blurb that you can miss. It's everywhere. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And you know, sometimes our behavior doesn't line up to the word or line up to someone who's in relationship with Jesus. And that should make us a little ashamed. It should make us want to be better. Because we're going to fall. Chocolate cake, coffee, maybe yours is something else. That was mine today. Tomorrow? Yeah, never know. But the point is, we can strive to be better. Tomorrow, I will be fasting chocolate cake and coffee again. And I will do better tomorrow because in my heart, I want to be better. I want to do better because I want, when people see me, to see Jesus. When I speak, I want them to hear Jesus' voice, not my crackly, gravelly thing. I want them to hear Jesus because that's what's important. You know, we preached all over Mexico from the top towards the bottom, side to side. And I always told the Lord, nobody ever has to know my name. I don't care if they know my name. All I care about is that they see you, they hear you, they feel you. My name is not important. I am called so many different names down there, it's not funny. And I answer to them all. I don't care. I'll answer to anything. I don't care. A child calls, Mom, yeah, here I am. I don't care. Because it's not about me. It's about Jesus. It's about Him. And I want to represent Him to the greatest and to the best and the most earnest of my ability. Because when people see Jesus, that's what they need to see. But when they see Janine, not so much. Because I'm not always what I should be. And the sad truth is, when I am not always what I should be, it reflects on my Jesus. Hallelujah. And I want to try harder. I need to try harder. Because I want to be better for Him. I want to be a worker approved, diligent, and approved that I don't need to be ashamed of myself, because I am living the word of truth. I am walking in the word of truth. And when I fall, I get right back up and stand in truth. Hallelujah. In 1 Peter 4:16, it says, if anyone suffers as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God in this matter. You know, one of the biggest things the biggest reasons people hate witnessing or sharing is because of rejection. Nobody wants to be rejected. Nobody wants to be told, be quiet, I don't want to hear that garbage. I don't want to hear anything about your Jesus. Nobody wants to feel that. Nobody wants to suffer that. But Jesus suffered it all the time, and he was Jesus. He was rejected by the very people he went to save. And you know what? I am convinced they knew exactly who he was. They knew exactly who Jesus was, and they didn't want it. They liked the status quo of life. They wanted things to remain as it was. They didn't want Jesus coming there and changing things up and making them do things differently. But I want Jesus to change me up. I want to do everything differently. I want to do it his way, because I've done it my way a long time. And let me tell you, my way don't work out so pretty. It's a fall and chocolate cake and coffee. But when it's his way, whoo, lives are changed. Hearts are touched. Hallelujah. All of creation with great expectation is waiting for God's glory to be revealed in you and me. They're waiting for that word. Hallelujah. They're waiting for that seed to be sown. Praise the Lord. And if it means I have to suffer a little rejection, I will. And I have. I will, and I have. Because he's greater than the rejection. He's greater. Rejection, ultimately, what's it do to me? Nothing. Absolutely nothing. Because I know who I am in Christ Jesus. And just because somebody says, I don't want that, or that's a bunch of hooey, that doesn't change what I know. It doesn't change my experiences with Jesus. It doesn't change how I feel about him. I just sow the seed and move on. Sow the seed and move on. Not the day for the harvest. That's okay. Not my job to harvest that seed. It's okay. But I'm not going to miss the day to sow it just because I might be rejected. Praise the Lord. And this is how I know that not everybody can do this, not just me or a pastor. In Acts 1:8 it says, but you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem, in all Judea and Samaria, and to the end of the earth. We are filled with that Holy Spirit, and we are called to be witnesses to the end of the world, to the end of the world. And that means we can do it. Not that it's just a possibility. It's a sure thing. We can do it because the power of the Holy Spirit lives in us and is just waiting for the moment we allow him to speak through us. We can do it. You can do it. It's not just me or a pastor. Anybody who is following after Jesus, anybody who has accepted Christ as your Savior, is filled with the same power and the same Holy Spirit, hallelujah, that filled Jesus Christ. And it's our mission. It's not just my mission, not just the pastor's, it's our mission as a collective whole, as the body of Christ. And we are filled with the power of the Holy Spirit. We are filled with his love, his character, his presence, his wisdom. And we just simply have to step out into it. Oh, hallelujah, Jesus. Oh, glory to your name. Hallelujah. Praise your name, Jesus. You know, Jesus changed lives. The lives of so many people with just a few words spoken in love, sincerity, kindness, truth, power. Oh, you know, I think one of my favorite phrases that Jesus said was, I am willing. I am willing. You know, they were saying to him, Lord, if I know you can, if you're willing. There was a little worry there, a little doubt. They knew he could do it, but he didn't really come for them, so maybe he wouldn't. But Jesus' answer was, I am willing. That is his answer to you tonight. I am willing. I am willing to use you. I am willing to fill you. I am willing to pour you out. I am willing to be all that you need me to be. I am willing to be your strength. I am willing to lead you. I am willing to provide. I am willing to cover. All we have to do is say, yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. He is willing. He is willing to be what we need, to do what we need. And you know what? He's already paid the price for us. Our life was paid for back on Calvary, long before we were born. He knew. He knew that on this night, what's the date? The 19th, 18th, something, January something, Janine was going to eat chocolate cake and coffee, and yet he still died for Janine. What is more amazing than that? What is more amazing than the compassion, than the love that moves Christ's heart with compassion for his people? And if we receive that compassion, how can we not share that compassion? Oh, praise the Lord. His compassion is limitless. You know, the story of Mary Magdalene, she was demon possessed and Christ delivered her, set her free from all of these demons. And then she had a little slip, went back to her town, and Jesus sent a couple of disciples after her. And she's standing there before him in this movie, okay? We're talking about the movie here. And he is filled with so much compassion. And I get that it's a movie. I get that. But that's the compassion of Jesus, isn't it? Doesn't he say that he leaves the 99 for the one? Doesn't he say that? He healed, and he healed people, and he delivered people everywhere he went because he was moved by his compassion. His love moved him. We need to be so filled with his love and compassion that it moves us to do great things because that power is in us. We're not an empty vessel. We're not serving a dead God. Oh, we are serving a God filled with so much compassion that even when we were still sinners, he died for us. Hallelujah. Oh, praise the Lord. You know, the price of an article, it can be anything, a beautiful vase, something that the value is just beyond our understanding. But do you know what the true cost of anything is? What someone is willing to pay for it. You know, we can have the most beautiful Rembrandt painting, and it's $3 million. Well, I'll tell you what, it's not $3 million to me. Because I don't got $3 million to pay it, so I don't want it. But the value of it is what someone will pay for it. Do you know what your value is? Jesus. Jesus paid everything for you and for them, for the lost and the broken and the hurting. He paid everything for them. Oh, praise the Lord. That excites me. I'm excited to be a spiritual first responder. I accept the call, Lord. I accept the call. I will be a spiritual first responder, and I will be faithful, Father, to sow that word. I will be faithful to encourage and to uplift. I will be faithful to bring the bread. I will be faithful to carry the water. I will be faithful to maintain these things in me, Father, so that you can pour out of me. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You and I have the power to change the lives of people through a simple phrase, through a simple, well-placed word or hug. Oh, praise the Lord. What is more powerful than love and compassion? Let's all stand tonight. Hallelujah. Oh, praise your name, Jesus. Praise your name. Thank you, Father. Oh, praise your name, Lord. Hallelujah, Jesus. Oh, hallelujah, precious Father. You know, I just want to encourage you tonight. If this spoke to your heart, if the Lord is speaking to your heart, just tell him, Lord, here I am. Here I am, Lord. I'll be that spiritual first responder. I'll do it, Jesus. I'll do it. Oh, praise your name. Hallelujah. Precious Father, we just praise you and we just thank you tonight, oh God. Lord, we thank you for your compassion and your grace and your mercy, Father. Lord, we thank you for your love and we just thank you, Father, for what you've done for us, oh God. Lord, we just ask you to use our lives in greater measure for your glory, Jesus. Lord, that you just show us, oh God. Lord, that you just direct us to the right moment, the right place, the right person, and you just fill our mouth with the right word, Lord God. All for your glory, Jesus. All for your kingdom, Father. Oh, precious Father, we are your people. We are your body. Oh, precious Savior, you are our King. You are our Savior. And we just praise you and we just thank you, Father, for what you're doing in our lives, for what you're doing in this place, Father, for what you're doing in our body and in our church. We just give you praise and we just give you glory, precious Father. Oh, we glorify your name, Jesus. We glorify your name, oh God. I just want to thank you for tuning in tonight and sharing this moment with us. I just want to say God bless you. Have a great evening. Hallelujah. Praise your name. Praise your name.